Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is Reservations, and I'm Jeremy Blair.
And I'm Rain Whalen. Oh, it's finally time, Jeremy. No more silent films.
Yeah. This one's my bad, for sure. I wasn't expecting it to be this difficult when I pitched this. When I was like, oh, we'll just do Fritz Lang movies, it'll be easy, I was mistaken, for sure.
And as we were kind of talking about off mic, you know, for me, it wasn't really difficult. It was just, compared to our 4.5 hour long silent film we did, I was like, why am I so bored with this one? Because I was actually really excited for this one, you know, espionage and spies. But the whole time I was just like, I don't care about all these subplots.
So it started out much like Dr. Mabuse, very strong, right? Where we're moving fast. Things are happening. This guy gets shot in the head while driving. It was cool. And things are getting stolen and all that stuff. You really need to be paying attention because it all matters very, very much what's happening, right? You know, it affects the rest of the 2 hour plus runtime. And if you weren't paying attention, or you have trouble paying attention, or you get confused easily, like me, the rest of the movie was hard to understand. Because, I read the synopsis today a few times, and I got it, but at the time I didn't get it, you know.
Well, before we get into it, as we were also talking about off mic, you finally saw Beau Is Afraid.
I did.
Man, I really want to see it, but for some reason, it's not going to be in Midland until the 27th.
So, just a spoiler-free review. It's absolutely tremendous. Those of you who loved Synecdoche in New York will love this. I know. If you love that sort of surrealism, you know, if you're a fan of David Lynch, you'll love this. If you're a fan of Ari Aster, I know you're not, but, you know, this is something different that Ari Aster is giving. That's not necessarily horror, and it's really good. People aren't going to like it. People are going to complain like they always do. People are not going to understand it. I've been telling everybody that for right now, if you know someone who's seen it, or if you're reading someone who's seen it and they're giving it a really bad review, if they've seen it only one time, don't listen to them, because it's going to take a lot to unpack, because there's so much and it's so long, right? So definitely multiple watches are needed, which some might say is a bad thing. I say it's a great thing. You want to be able to revisit something multiple times and it get better every time, right? So that's definitely going to be the case with this one, with Beau Is Afraid.
Yeah, we've talked about it on the podcast. I'm not Ari Aster's biggest fan. But as soon as I heard about this movie, I was like, I'm in. Stacked cast. The one for me, besides Joaquin Phoenix, was Nathan Lane, which I know no one really, unfortunately, gets excited when they hear, oh, Nathan Lane's in a new movie. But I was like, oh, Nathan Lane's in a new movie? Like,
you're going to love.
We're done.
Nathan, you're going to love it. You're going to love Nathan Lane in this. He's fucking awesome. A fun surprise that I'd forgotten, or that I didn't know that I would enjoy as much as I did, is Parker Posey. She's fucking awesome in this. Those of you who don't know Parker Posey, look her up. She's amazing. And it's fun to see her in a substantial role. So, so it was pretty cool. And Amy Ryan, for those of you who love The Office. So.
Go see it. My I think I told you Ashley's been rewatching. That's actually what she's doing right now while we're recording. She's watching The Office. She's like all in on The Office. But
let me know when she gets
I just wanted to bring that up before.
Let me know when she gets to the to Jim and Pam getting married. Spoilers.
I think she's getting close to that because they're already engaged by this point.
Because the boat captain that marries them, I've talked to him over the phone. So isn't that fun?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's my uncle's best friend, Randy. He's a producer on the show. Randy Cordray, big shout out to my boy Randy. Thank you so much for taking my phone call all those years ago. Really appreciate it.
What would you do if like someone sends him this episode and he's like, I don't know who that is?
He might know who I am. Again, best friend since childhood, him and my Uncle Roy. Does he know my name? No. But I mean, and he's retired now. He doesn't work for the TV industry anymore. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So,
okay,
so Jeremy,
back to spies.
Spies. Would you like me to proceed with the synopsis, or do you have a little bit more things to say? Okay. Quick synopsis. Spies. 1928. Fritz Lang. Espionage story of kind of like what we talked about with Dr. Mabuse. Someone steals important documents that they are trying to get back because it is essentially a treaty that will prevent two countries from going to war. And so the unnamed, I think it's the German government, assigns their top agent to the case, and as any good, you know, not what we talked about at the beginning, but as any good spy espionage movie has, we've got cat and mouse chases, we've got twists and turns, a lot of death for I was not expecting how many people were going to die in this movie.
Well, especially when we get to the end, it's a lot and more violent visually than you're expecting. So,
Christ. And then, but at the same time, our top agent is falling in love with, essentially a femme fatale.
Yeah.
Sonia, who's been assigned by the criminal mastermind, which is, I had their names up. Rudolf Klein Rogue.
Yep.
Who I think you said his name when we did Dr. Mabuse. He was Dr. Mabuse. He's our criminal mastermind for this movie.
Yep.
Which is like Dr. Mabuse and a half.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I think it's Hagee. There's no way I said that correctly, but that's what it looks like to me.
Like, of course, he goes by
other things as well because he's also a banking person. He runs a bank. And then he's also like agent, one of those numbers.
Yeah. Agent.
Like 7.
1179, I think, or something like that. It's hard to do a synopsis. I mean, I covered the basics.
They're just trying to retrieve this treaty. They, between Japan and France, I believe.
Because they said it was an unnamed Eastern country.
Yeah.
Japan, Russia.
I don't remember. I'm so sorry, everyone. It's been.
And of course, it is a little confusing because then Japanese agents get involved to help.
So that's the Japan part. I think it is Russia because Sonia is a Russian agent. So I think it is Japan and Russia. But then of course she falls in love with Agent 36. Hold on, I'm so sorry.
326.
Falls in love with 326, which was not expected. And then once Heidi finds out, I need to find a better way to say that word.
Let's just call him H.
H. So when H, such a cop out, we need to do better. H finds out about it, uses that romance as leverage, and you know, manipulates her actions with that romance. Then we get double crosses when she double crosses H. and of course, him thinking that she is falling in love with the other guy. Hold on, Jelusic. And then tries to, I think, have him killed, in which case she was just using him for something else, for information.
It's all interconnected. So, well, that was the synopsis, essentially. I would say let's kind of start with untangling the web a little bit, because primarily it sort of starts with, how'd you pronounce his name? Jelusic?
Jelusic, yeah.
Jelusic. It kind of all starts with him, because he is willing to betray his country to, I'm assuming they probably offered him money. They don't really specify. Right. He's willing to let this peace treaty get to disappear. And he's sort of the catalyst for everything. Even though he only shows up like a handful of times, you know, or at least that was my interpretation as I was watching.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Again, this movie made me feel really dumb, but I think I'm just not, I've always struggled with espionage films, you know, like when we did Tinker Tailor, I was like glued to the screen, 'cause I'm like, I cannot miss anything. I had that list of names right next to me. Right. So like, I already have a mental block when it comes to espionage. And then you add on, it's silent. You add on, it's 2.5 hours, you know, and I'm going to get confused.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think, and, to play devil's advocate for you, I think it's also due in part that there's a lot of information thrown at us.
Yeah.
You know, all the different players in the field. Because, you know, with Tinker Tailor, you know, it's internal. And yeah, we have a lot of people involved. It's not as intricate as this. You know, Tinker Tailor is more like, we got to find the mole.
Right.
This is, we need to find the mole, getting good with him. But then someone's going to double cross that mall. And then, but then that person's got their, it's, you know, there's so many, I mean, and I didn't hate the movie.
No,
I know I usually save that. I know I usually save that for later, but I didn't hate the movie, but it is very layered, and it was boring at times because I was trying to like, okay, so, okay, that's who that is. Okay. Like, but that doesn't make sense. You know,
I don't blame you at all for thinking it was boring, because I watched a video today of this guy who seemed like a total film snob, and he said that he was bored too. So that it does drag sort of in the middle. I think once when Haley came in and she sat down while I was watching, it was near the end. It was gearing up towards the train crash. Mm-hmm. And when the train crash happened, she's already learned people's names, and she's able to connect them already. And she's like, oh, okay. So that's 326. That's what's her face. Oh, okay. No, he's fine. And here comes this person. Oh, and it was so easy, right, for her.
Anyway. Uh-huh.
And it did become a little more clear. I'm not saying that she's not a genius. She is a genius. And she was able just to sit down and figure it all out in 2 seconds when she sat down. But
I think where she's coming in at the point of the story, like, I feel like she would have been just as confused if you if she sat down and watched it with you from the first second. Because even yeah, I was I just so. Like,
because she didn't have to deal with hold on, what is his name? He was the head of the Japanese Secret Service.
Matsumoto.
Yes, Matsumoto, who is not Japanese. Shocker, but. But there are Asian actors in this movie, so
Because I was like, he doesn't. We'll get there anyway.
Because like so there was a point where I was starting to fatigue a little bit, and then I perked up because Matsumoto was about to perform ritualistic suicide, and I was like, wait, what did I miss? You know, and it was well, no, because before that was the hallucination, which I also really loved.
You
will put up a picture of it, please.
Yes, as we were talking about off mic, hopefully Future Rain puts up that photo of his three not henchmen, his three couriers.
They're like employees.
Yeah
they're like his
that was really cool.
It was so fucking really cool. Again, Lang is so good at this at these visual marvels, right? Because in the very beginning, we also get, I love the shot of the hands going in to uncrack the safe. I love the shot of the guy on the motorcycle. That was so fucking cool. And of course the Asian agents, then the hallucination, that was fucking cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's stuff in here that's amazing, right? And he was given such a low budget for this because he almost bankrupted the studio with Metropolis.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, because Metropolis is so big, right? Mm-hmm. And here they're like, listen, man, like you can make another one, but lay off all the big sets, okay? You know?
Yeah.
Which is why this feels so small, so much smaller.
Hey, that thing you did, don't do that again.
Even though it was a huge success, right? So thank God that it didn't bankrupt the studio, because it would have if it wasn't a big success. But anyway, so he was given such a small budget this time, which I think the most intricate of a set we get is in. It was either
the bank.
It's the bank with the staircases. Mm-hmm. Right? That was really cool. But again, he's still using his visual genius with these sort of these images, and which is so cool that. You know, he finds a way to make things really compelling, even when it's a story of espionage and things pretty grounded in reality. He can still make this wonderfully horrific, you know, a hallucination or nightmare sequence, and do things like, we'll just paint your eyelids, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so fucking cool. It was really, it was really, really interesting and really cool to see. But then there's that lag, you know, where we're getting more into the romance. We're getting more into misinformation or people getting misinformation or especially, Heige. Sorry, I went back to doing that.
That's fine.
We're not getting enough of him, but we're getting more of him misunderstanding, right? Or him plotting, right? Which in a way is interesting, but it's also like, why make us think Sonya is going to end up with, I forgot his fucking name again, Jelusic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why waste time with him misunderstanding their relationship and then going after him? I guess it's to show his scope of power and how important she is to his operation, maybe.
Maybe.
But all in all, once we get to the train crash, that's when it starts really, I mean, going like 100 miles an hour again, like it did in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because once that happens, then we have, oh my God, 326 is dead. You know, wait, no, he's not. And that really cool shot of him holding the gun out of the rubble, that was really cool. And then even after that, where Sony is being kidnapped, right? They're flooding that bank with poison gas. There's gunfire, there's explosions, there's chaos. But now we need to corner our bad guy, who can walk, by the way. And cool reveal, by the way, of him just getting up and walking out of there. It's almost akin to, if anyone's seen Saw, when Jigsaw gets up off the floor, you're like, what the fuck? You know?
That guy's been alive the whole time.
Yeah. And, or it's sort of like in The Usual Suspects when Kevin Spacey stops being all gimpy as he walks to his car, you know? And you're like, he doesn't have cerebral palsy. That's crazy. You know, he truly is Kaiser Soze in real life too. I guess what I'm saying is the movie's really good. I think it would have benefited by being at least 30 minutes shorter. You know,
I would agree to that. I would agree to that. Yeah, man. Cause yeah, a lot of the back and forth just didn't. Yeah, I think that's what dragged it along. Mm-hmm. You know, because like I was following it perfectly fine. I was understanding that Haji. I was following that he is our new criminal mastermind and he's got plans on top of plans on top of plans. But man, like that whole middle section of 326 following Sonya to Jessel's apartment. And then, cause he thinks that they're actually lovers and then he's trying to drink himself to death. And then Matsumoto stops. Like, I was just like, I don't care.
By the way, Willie Fritsch at the time was known for playing elegant gentlemen and which he became in the movie, but they, Fritz Lang wanted to see him be like a sort of disheveled bum for a while. Cause that's not what he was known for at the time. Which I would have liked to see more of that, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good cover. It's a good cover.
It was, and it was cool. And you know, he was a secret agent, but he was like deep undercover. And I thought that was really interesting. And, but you take him to a fancy hotel, run him a bath and he's good, you know?
Yeah. Good for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and because, I don't know, I think I have that face blindness sometimes because every once in a while I would be like, wait, is that him? And then I'd be like, no, it's someone else, you know? Or I'd be like, wait, no, that is him. Okay. I had a hard time with that after he became his elegant gentleman self.
The gentleman spy, essentially.
Yeah. Which that's why I really appreciated Fritz Rasp, who played Jelusic, because he was so unique looking that he was almost wearing a zoot suit, you know, but he had that mustache, he had that hair, that hat, and he was very recognizable. So that I enjoyed that. So, okay. Let's talk about, I want to talk about some of the really surprising stuff of this movie. Okay. I think if we come up with more plot stuff, that's great. I'm having a hard time. So we'll get back to the train stuff later. Cause I like that stuff too, but the cyanide capsule surprised me. I think that's the first time anyone's ever killed themselves. A character has killed themselves using cyanide in a movie. That was pretty cool, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When they finally catch up to that guy, and he puts something in his mouth real quick and then he dies, right?
Yeah.
Haji shoots himself in the head at the end of the movie.
Oh my god, dude.
At first I'm not as familiar with silent film and the tropes and how things look and what's supposed to represent what at this time, just because of filmmaking barriers and roadblocks at the time. So I thought it was a blank, right? Because he stood, he stood up so long right afterward. And then he just drops and I go, oh, I guess that's him shooting himself. That's crazy.
You know? Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? Mm. It reminded me a lot of Birdman, because, you know, the audience stands up and applauds.
Yes.
It reminded me a lot of Birdman. So I wonder if Alejandro had seen this movie and was maybe like, oh, I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's, you know, it's interesting storytelling because, of course, they think that it's part of the show. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when they drop the curtain, then the police can, or the agents can come in and swarm him. That was really interesting. The ritualistic suicide was really interesting. I wasn't expecting that either.
Dude, yeah, I was not expecting all these people to die in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, with that first, you know, courier getting back to the German headquarters and he gets sniped through the window. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And these things have become standard, right, in your spy espionage action films, that, you know, people who get too close or people that are about to give really important information are sniped or murdered or something just in time. The safe cracking is, you know, become standard, and these very fast paced action sequences like we see in the very beginning, that's obviously standard. I mean, we're setting a lot of precedents here in this film, which of course
first thing I wanted to do. You can answer this later
maybe.
So would you say that Fritz Lang introduced a lot of the tropes that modern filmmakers use now?
I think not directly. I think that he may have, I know you told me to do this later, but I'm doing it now. You know, it's just in sequence, right? So he does something that another filmmaker thinks is cool. He does it. You know, someone else sees that new one, they do it, and so on until we get, you know, like until we get Javier Bardem taking out his fake jaw because he he bit the cyanide capsule and it didn't kill him, right? That's where we get to in Skyfall.
Dude, fucking Skyfall. Man. Oh my God, so good.
Kale, if you're listening, and I know you're not, Skyfall is better than Quantum of Solace.
Wait, what does he like more?
Kale thinks Quantum of Solace is better than Skyfall.
Wait, hang on. Pause on the episode.
Sorry, guys.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
And wait. And you're trying to have him give me shit for liking Doctor Who?
Yeah. I mean, it's all relative, you know, but yeah.
Dude, Quantum of Solace, man, they didn't even have the rights to use
Spectre. Now, hold on. He doesn't like either movie. Let's be clear. He doesn't like either movie. He just thinks
that's of the two.
Is a lesser movie than Quantum of Solace. They're both bad in his eyes. To me, I love Skyfall. I think Skyfall's great.
Skyfall's the best, dude.
But anyway, so
yeah,
sorry, Zach, for that.
Jesus Christ.
For that
aside. But yes, also, no.
I'd like to formally apologize to Zach because this one was hard to get through. So I apologize because he even told me the other day, he texted me and he goes, man, can I be honest with you? I am not excited for one more of these. But he promised me he would watch all of them. And that's super sweet of him to do that. The rest of them get better. Or at least they get easier to follow.
Zach's the best. Well, can I be honest, dude? I was looking at the analytics of this season so far, like on YouTube, and see like how the engagement is so far.
Oh, I bet you yours are just crushing mine.
Well, of the four we've released this season, mm-hmm. So far, Edward Scissorhands the highest.
Really?
It has 35 views. And then
a lot for us.
It's the Batman movies.
Yeah, of course.
And then it's Destiny and then Dr. Oh, no.
I think
even the one person who's watching our videos on YouTube are, I think they're wearing thin on.
Yeah. It's just films. This one. And then after this, we get to do fun ones after this. Not that yeah, they so have fun.
Yeah. After this, in 2 weeks, we'll get to do M.
M. Yeah.
Thank God.
I know.
Okay. So,
okay.
I do want to talk about this real quick.
Sure.
Mainly also so we can stretch out this episode. So this episode's not 45 minutes long. Yeah. I do really like the fact that even though, yes, Fritz Lang casted, Rudolph as, Haji. I like the fact that he's not playing Dr. Mabuse.
Yeah.
You know, cause I was, as soon as I saw him on screen, I was like, oh, that's Dr. Mabuse. But I do like that. Yes, he has sort of disguises and different faces, but not disguises. To the extent.
Which I thought was interesting. It's sort of like a trope, I guess. He's not really, you're right, he's not doing Dr. Mabuse, because that would be silly. Why would he do that? But it's like this. It's a way to show his two identities, you know, his mastermind identity. Sorry. His mastermind identity. And
it's my nephew
and niece, actually.
Oh, niece.
And it's his like public persona identity as the banker or something, you know,
yeah.
because you're right. His hair is different, you know, he does have that stupid. This is Annie, by the way. Is Anastasia.
Almost like a comb over a little bit.
Yeah, he has like this weird comb over, and then he just slicks it back when he's the banker, which I guess makes sense because bankers all have slick back hair. I think that's a rule. But
yeah, when you sign your teller card, it says you have to come in with slick back hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and I sorry everyone. Zach. But yeah, no, I really like that he was still menacing, but I also liked that he wasn't as, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but he wasn't as cartoony as Dr. Mabuse. And like, what I mean by that is, you know, Dr. Mabuse almost is like the epitome of the evil genius, yeah. You know? As where Haji is more of the, he's definitely an evil genius, but he's more like almost grounded. Like that's okay. Like when he thinks he's got all the couriers, but it's all newspapers, he's mad about it. But then he remembers it's okay. I've got an ace in the hole. I can get this treaty with, you know, cause he's got his contingency plans for his contingency plans.
Yes. So, I like
so
that.
I really
sorry there's some visual language in place in this film that I really like, and it's the difference between the head of the Secret Service, his office, and then you have Haji's office or Haji or whatever you say. Their offices are so different. So Haji's or Haji's is very theatric and interesting, right? Where he's got that pneumatic tube in there. He's got the clear clock. He's got, you know, things going on. He's got the thing that tells him who gives him a letter and a quick synopsis of what the letter is, right? It's very interesting and works for him, right? Like he's not just working in the space. The space is working for him too.
Right.
But when you get to the head of the Secret Service office, it's really just boring. It's just an office. It's sort of plain, you know, meaning that you're supposed to, I think, infer from that, maybe even subconsciously, because you're not really thinking about it at the time, but that the Secret Service is sort of like outmatched, right? That maybe Haji's gonna win because he's so much more prepared than they are, right? He's a step ahead,
you know? Right.
Which I really liked.
Jesus. I haven't had dinner yet.
Here's a fun here's a fun fact if you want one.
Okay.
Greta Morus, who plays Sonia, was having an affair with Fritz Lang at the time.
And Fritz Lang co-wrote this with his wife.
Yes. Now his wife also cheats on him as well, because she had she had an affair with an Indian gentleman. She really liked. I think we mentioned that in the Destiny episode that she had a thing for Indian guys, and so she had an affair with an Indian gentleman. And of course, he had an affair with this woman, Greta. And yes, he did co-write this with his wife, and his wife also wrote the book this is based on. She also wrote the book for, oh man, it wasn't Metropolis. It was, it might've been Metropolis. Anyway, she writes novels too. And then they just adapted the novels she wrote. Anyway, it doesn't matter anyway. She became a Nazi, so who cares?
Oh my God. Well, that's probably another reason why he didn't want to make propaganda films.
Probably. That was just a fun fact about, you know, we see an actress in here that was sleeping with the director at the time.
Oh man, that's probably why she got such a important role.
Maybe. You know, she was good though. You know, I don't think it was it wasn't like special treatment or whatever. She was good. And the only problem I had was you could see there was something in between all of her teeth, and I didn't like that. When she would smile, each tooth was almost outlined, and I don't like that. You know what I mean? It was gross. But other than that, she was really good.
So here, this is a good way we can kind of circle back to the plot a little bit. Sonia was a really good femme fatale, you know. Definitely playing kind of both ends against the middle and not expecting to fall in love with, you know, Agent 326. And I even though so a lot of the romance subplot I didn't really care for, I did really like the fact that it's very obvious that they cared for each other, you know? I thought that was a good, interesting subplot. It was doubling down on it and showing more that I didn't really care for.
Now, you bring up a good point, because there are several moments in this film, her being one of them, just her and as a character, is now we're getting much closer to film noir, right? Mm-hmm. We're using shadows in a really cool way in this one, right? Where there was a couple of moments, one where someone is off screen, but you can see their silhouette behind the person on screen, right? To know who they're talking to someone, right? We'll see that my next pick. We'll see that in M. And also there's the scene where Sonia is still bound to the chair and she's seeing the struggle in front of her, and it's really big on the wall behind her, the shadow. And so it's like we're getting both the fight and her reaction to it all at the same time, right? By using shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So by, again, using what would, you know, then still probably be German expressionistic, by using really stark shadows and using shadows of storytelling, this time literally, right? It's, you know, 'cause we could see the shadows. We're getting closer to film noir, because they're not over the top theatric. They're not, you know, they're not weird, right? They're not painted on. They're not being artificially manipulated or whatever. They're just now using the space in reality, just with lighting, to do this, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed you know, and that's another reason why we're doing the series. I noticed that the things that we talked about in your first two picks, you know, definitely things are getting honed in more, you know, with Fritz, yeah, as a director, you know. Yeah, I did notice like the use of lighting and shadows was a little bit more, it wasn't as stark as it was in the other two. It was a little bit more natural and
yeah,
made more sense for a shadow to be cast this way or something like that, you know.
A part of me now wishes we would have, I guess, not done them all at the same time or all in a row. I'm glad we did Metropolis when we did it, but it'd be cool to see it now in order, like what it would, you know, when we had done Dr. Mabuse, now let's go ahead and do Metropolis, now let's do Spies, right? Just to see the progression,
right?
Metropolis still feels like a completely different movie and a different kind of movie, but maybe if we had watched them in order like we're doing these, there would be some sort of like connection to them in terms of style. Because think about Metropolis real fast. We get a little bit of a nod to Metropolis in this, because it's all over the wall.
Yeah.
In a couple of the shots, all the posters for Metropolis are all over the place. Which is sort of like, hey, go see my movie. Remember when I was doing those?
Hey, remember when I almost bankrupt?
Yeah.
I think it was UFA company.
Yeah, he almost bankrupted UFA, UFA, with Metropolis. But think back on that time. I think it was like 2 years ago when we did Metropolis. Does it feel like Mabuse or Spies? No.
No, it really doesn't.
I think it's because it's a completely different genre, maybe, one, because it's science fiction. But also, I think because there's more, he went a little bit backwards in terms of style, especially for Rudolph's character, for the scientist, because he lives in a German expressionistic realm, right? When you see where he lives in his space, and of course that story is just, it's a lot, but it's easier to follow than this was.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I don't know why. I just really like Metropolis, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean that is a really good point, man. Because Metropolis feels like a whole other thing entirely.
Yeah.
You know, from virtually anything we've really talked about.
It might also be just the cultural significance of Metropolis. I mean, people may not know who Fritz Lang is, but they'll know what Metropolis is, right? Or at least recognize the robot woman. But if you say Spies, they're like, what about it? You know, like, what are you talking about? They're not going to know what we're talking about. It's not stood the test of time.
Yeah, like when I was trying to gather some research for this episode, I typed in Spies and I realized I had to get specific with it because Google was like, Spies in Disguise? I was like, no, not the 2019 animated film with Tom Holland and Will Smith.
Should we have done that instead?
That movie's great, man. It has...
Is it?
It's really funny, but it has one too many butt jokes that shouldn't be in a child's movie.
Okay.
Like about cloacas and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
But okay. So I feel like we're finally now where your favorite part, the train crash.
Yes. Yes. I love the train crash. It's really cool. You know,
it really was. That was really interesting how they did it. Of course, the part that stood out to me was, of course, the part you already mentioned, which is, you know, Sonya gets caught and is about to be killed, but 326 has his gun is poking out of the rubble.
Yeah. But even
I was like, that's so cool.
Even before then, because Sonya gives him the necklace and he has it in his pocket up above him and it falls and hits him in the chest. Our Alexa, Haley's home. She'll be up in a second. And it hits him on the chest to wake him up. And that's how he's even, you know, remotely aware that there might be an event happening, right? That something awful might happen.
Yeah, something's about to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's amiss.
Yeah. Which I really liked. I liked that piece of that prop came back in handy, because at first you're like, who fucking cares about this stupid necklace? They keep bringing it up and I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
And it turns out I should have cared the whole time. I was the one who was wrong. And then it comes back in a major way. It wakes him up, and then that's how we identify his body at first, because he's still holding it. And so that's how we know that's 3-3-2-6. And again, you're right. We keep bringing up the gun and the rubble. It's just it's a cool shot. I don't know. It's dire.
Yeah, it really is. Although I did think it was a little funny that once Sonya realizes who it is, she's all happy to see him and is kissing on him. And then she's like, oh yeah, let's get this stuff off of you.
Like, oh geez, my goodness, you're covered in debris. Yeah.
You're covered in pieces of your train car.
There was a thing, there was a moment that I also really liked, and it was a piece of, I think, animation where I think it's in like the Japanese like agency or whatever, that they're being that they've been bugged. It's in that lamp or that vase, and there's the outline of what back then was a small microphone, and it takes up the whole vase. I really liked that superimposing, or maybe it's animation, I don't really remember at the time.
Yeah.
But I really liked that as well. I mean, there's cool stuff in this, you know, it's just long.
There really is. And I was really excited for this, because I really like the artwork, and it's 2 hours lesser than Dr. Mabuse. So I was like, dude, that's a win right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did find myself just like, I don't care about this, or wait, what happened again? Or
yeah,
it was mainly the stuff I didn't care about. Like, I don't care. Get back to the espionage. This is supposed to be a thriller, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I think we may have exhausted this, which is fine. It can be a short one. Who cares? You know, it's our rules. You know, we're not beholden to any advertising, because who would want to advertise on our channel?
Imagine we finally get Criterion to sponsor us, and they're like, nah, dude, they got to be 2 hours long every time.
Shit. I can't do it.
Like, all right, I guess we'll just sit here and play on our phones.
Can't do it. Keep your money. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Even if they're like, we'll fly you out to New York and you can do a whole in the closet episode.
Can't. Sorry. I can't jeopardize my integrity.
Jesus.
Okay.
Well,
okay. Zach, let us know what you think. You can comment if you want. You can just text me if you want, which you probably already will. I want to know what you thought. I'm really sorry. But we're done. We did it. We got through it. We made it through the silent films, and you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, the rest of these are going to be easy breezy, you know?
Well, like I've been saying, man, I'm really excited to talk about M, you know, when I got that on the Criterion, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever told you this. I was like, you know, Jeremy wouldn't shut up about this movie. I'll watch it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And, and there's sound, which as I've learned from doing these three movies, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I need sound.
There is sound, and we'll get to it, but Fritz Lang will use sound in a really unique way for filmmaking, which is really cool. Haley's coming in. Hold on. Hi, honey.
What's up?
Hey, do you want to say hi to the people around the world?
I got rained on.
Oh, no. I guess it's raining outside.
A little bit.
Oh, no.
Hi, world.
Do you want to be on camera? You sure can.
Do I look okay?
Yeah, you look great.
Okay.
See? Look, hey.
Hi.
Look. Hi, look, there she is.
My mom's going to see this. Oh, my God.
Probably just my mom. Actually.
That's
cool. Anywho.
So gold. Well, yeah. Like I've been saying, dude.
She was on earlier.
We should do an episode with Haley. We did, you know. I technically did one with my wife. We should do one with Haley.
The look on her face, she looked terrified. Yeah. to do an episode with you would be fun. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll get to pick the movie. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we already know. Captain America.
Okay. Jesus, Captain America, of course. Makes perfect sense.
Although I would like to request, when that day comes, specifically the Winter Soldier.
Of course. Yeah, Winter Soldier, definitely.
I can play that game.
Okay, she's in.
Well.
So anyway, this is a good wrapping up point, I suppose.
Yes, wrap.
So thank you guys for making it through this another silent film. The last one. So, and again, I'm so sorry. Right. What are we talking about next week? Is there sound?
Yes, there is sound. But as I've learned from screenshots, there is no color.
There is no color. Well, yes, there is no color. That is correct.
Next week, we are talking about... Hang on. Stop yelling. We were talking about the 1994 Tim Burton movie, Ed Wood.
Ed Wood.
I really like this one. I have not seen it. We're about to get into some of my picks that I have not seen, which is mainly the next two. This one and then one that we're doing 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
But no, 2 weeks from now. Because, no, 3 weeks. I was right the first time.
Yeah, you got it.
Those two I haven't seen. I do know that this one's a biopic.
Yes.
About Ed Wood and about how he, from what I understand, about his sort of rise into filmmaking and then sort of his fall.
It is. And it's very good. It's,
well, as I was looking at my Blu-ray case, it won 2 Academy Awards.
That I did not know. But Sarah Jessica Parker is good, which is cool because I'm not the biggest fan of Sarah Jessica Parker, but she's really good in this. Bill Murray's amazing.
But she's Matthew Broderick's wife.
I know. Bill Murray is amazing, and Martin Landau is tremendous. I think he might have been one of the Academy Awards.
Yes, yeah. Martin Landau, Best Supporting Actor, and then Rick Baker and his team got Best Makeup.
That makes sense. It's really, really, it's really well done. It's better than you think. People who are like, oh, it's a movie about a guy who makes terrible movies, that sounds terrible. It's really good. So,
well, and I've learned that this is the sort of a niche for Tim Burton, you know, especially when we're going to get into one of my favorites of his way later. Shut up. It'll be closer to the. It'll be in like. I said that one's in 3 weeks.
Just some math. That's fun.
In a minute, Big Fish. I think those hidden gems in Tim's mm-hmm. filmography really shine through.
I would consider.
And it sounds like what you're
hidden. I love Ed Wood. I would go as far to say I love it. I think it's so good. And it's fun and it's different than his other stuff. It's more quirky than dark and weird. So
yeah. Well, and one final thing before we close out. So when I bought my copy, got off of Amazon, and then I was at Best Buy, just kind of perusing, just kind of looking around, see if there's anything I wanted before Ashley and I had our challenge, and my Ed Wood copy was on its way. I'm just looking around and I look down and they had it. And I think it was like $6.99.
Oh, cool.
And that was way cheaper than what I bought off of Amazon.
That sucks. If you are around a Best Buy and if they still sell movies, I know some don't anymore, which is a real shame. They probably might still have it. So go check that out if you want a copy, because it's really good. So I do recommend it. If you like Tim Burton, you like Johnny Depp, it's a win-win. I would say just go for it.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, I would say that about wraps it up.
It sure.
Spies. And we will see everyone next week for Ed Wood.